Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Okay, we're back with Dora. We're talking what we need to do as business people to protect our trademarks. This side of the picture is the owner of a trademark and of a design, etc. And we covered what you do with Puerto Rico and what you do with copyrights, which has to be in Washington. Is there any other registrations that have to be considered that should be undertaken?
But you don't have to, but it is highly recommended that you also register your trademarks in the Patent and Trademark Office in Washington, D.C. That will give you the benefits of the U.S. laws and access to the federal courts here in Puerto Rico to protect your trademark. So you can also apply for the registration of your mark with the PTO, that's what it's called, the Patent and Trademark Office. And if you're planning on selling your products or providing your services somewhere else outside of Puerto Rico, it is also highly recommended that you register your trademarks and your copyrights in the countries where you think you will be going or where you think someone that could be copying your products or your services will be going. So you will have them protected there too.
And those in the countries, is one by one, or is there a centralized?
Well, here in America, it's one by one. You know, you have to go to the different countries in the Caribbean, South America, Central America, each country. In Europe, there is a central registry, it's called the Madrid Protocol, where you apply for your registration there and you mark, you know, technically check marks, the countries where you want to protect your trademark. And they will then tell you if that mark is already registered there or not. But you can, in Europe, you have a central registry that you can work with.
Okay. And your firm and you yourself, you handle registrations throughout Latin America and in Europe?
Or? We do. We apply for registrations here in Puerto Rico, in the U.S., in the Caribbean, Central and South America, in Cuba, which is a very interesting place, a very highly recommended place to register.
Tell us about Cuba. Why?
Well, as you know,
we're not supposed to be able to sell
in Cuba. We cannot sell our products in Cuba, but the laws, the U.S. laws, specifically provide that you can protect your trademark there, because the fact that you cannot sell there doesn't mean that someone cannot sell there. And since U.S. companies and Puerto Rico companies cannot sell their items there, it is a place where many persons that do not really follow the law, most of the time they go and register your mark. You know, if Coca-Cola is not registered in Cuba, someone else will go and register Coca-Cola. And when Coca-Cola gets there, they will have to buy that mark from them.
When the market's opened up legally, then they're going to have a problem.
Right? They will have a problem because someone else owns the mark there. Obviously, Coca-Cola is a famous mark and international treaties apply to those marks. But it is very recommended that you register your mark there so no one from other countries, like, you know, Venezuela, Panama, Costa Rica, someone else, you know, who can legally sell their products there, register your mark.
Okay, I just want to tell the listeners to grab a pencil and a piece of paper, because you'll give them your contact information in case they have any information on the Brito case or on intellectual property. This is we'll make it available for them. In terms of the other side of the coin, now we've talked about the owner and trying to protect their intellectual property. Now the other side of the coin, there's the owner, the empresario, who is buying products, and what does that person do or should do in order to make sure they don't get into problems of violating trademark and other persons' rights, as happened to these defendants in the Brito case?
Well, first, they should be buying these items from reputable companies, entities. Some of these defendants said, I bought it from a guaguero. I bought it from someone that came here and had these items in the car. You know, definitely those are not real companies, and you should have raised the doubt, you know, about the validity of these items. So obviously the first thing is to buy from a reputable or a known established company. And if you have a doubt, you know, you're buying items that have a trademark and logos and names that you recognize or might not recognize, ask the person, ask the company if these are authentic product, if they are real, you know, that you ask exactly, you know, are these valid, you know, real products, and give me a certificate, give me something. And in particular, you want a real receipt. Some of these defendants have paper receipts, if any. You see that the receipts do not have the name of the company. The receipts have to have the name of the company, the address, the telephone number. The company that sells you this product has to charge you IVU or other items. They should be known, established companies. Don't buy from street vendors.
And in this case, where how good were the products in terms of matching the real, the original, and in terms of pricing, what spurred, you know, this action in this particular case?
Well, the counterfeit items were they were not good copies. I mean, they made a lot of designs that we don't even do. They have many, the quality of the products was not good. It was really affecting us. And all the copies, well, for us, it is very simple for us to identify counterfeit copies. Obviously, for the person that is buying boxes and bags and many of these products, they don't know which are the originals and which are not. You know, they don't know which designs we do in order to say, oh, that is a counterfeit product. They just have the names and they have the Brito name and everything, and it's, I can understand that they don't know if we make that model or not. So that's what I'm saying. You know, just buy from someone that it's a known company with an actual receipt, and ask if they are valid or not.
And the prices kind of tell you sometimes that this is something that,
well,
not
for us, again,
kosher in this.
Yeah, for many people said that they knew that the real items were being sold for, I don't know, $200, and they were buying these copies for like $10-$15. That should give also an idea. But as a matter of fact, the originals were not sold by $200. They were sold around 60 something, and we saw that these companies were selling the counterfeit product for $45-$50. So the difference is like $10-$20 between the original and the fake.
Yeah, so it makes it even sadder.
Yes.
Okay, well then, I think, you know, this covers what I wanted to discuss with you today. I think this is really helpful for the listeners. Could you give our listeners your contact information, your telephone number, and your email address?
Sure. My telephone number is 787-250-5657. Again, 787-250-5657. And my email is DMP, D as in David, M as in Mary, P as in Peter, @ mcvpr.com. That's M as in Mary, C as in Cat, V as in Victor, PR as in Puerto Rico.com. mcvpr.com.
Well, Dora, I thank you for joining me today and appreciate very much the information you passed on to our listeners.
Jorge, thank you for having me and inviting me to this great program. Thank you.
Just 60 miles east of Puerto Rico are the British Virgin Islands, 60 islands and cays known as nature's little secrets, an aquatic playground with some of the best sailing, diving, snorkeling, and fishing in the Caribbean. What the BVI lacks is its greatest asset: no high-rise hotel, no casinos, no crowds. Nature's little secret awaits. You are welcome in the British Virgin Islands. Call 721-2525.